T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
This hour of the Annie Fry Show is sponsored by The Loading Dock. River views, outdoor dining, live music, and overnight accommodations. Visit GraftonLoadingDock.com.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not America's sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Did you follow that regulation? Did you have the appropriate agency ethic official look into this? Did you seek guidance as the federal regulation requires?
This memorandum is aimed at violence and threats of violence.
Understand that, but did you seek ethics counsel before you issued a letter that directly relates to the financial interest of your family? Yes or no?
This memorandum does not relate to the financial interests of anyone. It's against.
I take that as a no.
So Merrick Garland on Capitol Hill right now testifying in front of this House committee here. Merrick Garland, what a story Merrick Garland has been in just a few years here, getting nominated to the Supreme Court by President Obama. Mitch McConnell famously did not engage in having a hearing to put him on the Supreme Court in that election year. And now he's the attorney general. And now he's facing this House panel. Is this the judiciary? This isn't the House judiciary, is it?
You know, I don't know offhand.
They can ask him anything. Nadler, Representative Nadler, is the chair of this. I can't take him seriously, especially after the impeachment hearings, man, those were so ridiculous. And then do you remember when the impeachment moved into the Senate? I guess it was the first one. Do you don't want to get your impeachments crossed up with President Trump? Do you remember when Representative Nadler was part of the prosecution, if you will? He was there in the Senate for the actual trial, so to speak. He would wander up to the microphone and start talking. And in the background, Adam Schiff and some of the people that were, part of this prosecution, they'd be like scrambling, like, get him back here, get him back here, get him back here. And he'd make his way right up to the microphone and start talking.
Yeah.
He's something else.
He is. I don't want to beat up on him too bad.
No,
but,
there's a way to talk about him, and there's a way that we're not going to.
He's almost a caricature of a human being.
Yeah.
But
like a cartoon character.
He is the chair of the House Judiciary Committee. I don't know if he chairs any others, but if that's the case, then that's what this is House mm-hmm. Judiciary.
So they've been asking these questions of Merrick Garland today a lot centering around that letter that was released from the attorney general talking about the domestic terrorists that are flocking to school board meetings across the country. It to me seems so politically motivated and at the same time so politically miscalculated. There's probably one thing that regardless of political persuasion, there's one thing that politicians can do that will turn everyone against them very quickly, and that's to insert themselves between a parent and their child. Like, come at me, bro.
That's something that nobody should do. Understand your spot and then be like, okay, well, I'm in between the mama bear and the cubs. I need to take a step back.
Yeah, that was a mistake. This tweet yesterday from Randy Weingarten, who is in charge, the president of the teachers union. And there's this seems to be a consistent messaging that is coming out of people who are involved in public education, but also generally speaking, the left. Randy Weingarten says, I think a lot of people forget that our children are facing immense trauma as the result of the pandemic and the isolation of quarantine and school via Zoom. Back the truck up, Ms. Weingarten. Nobody's forgetting when it comes to our children. You mean my children. My children, there's no our here outside of my husband and myself. They are ours. They are mine. Stop speaking from a place of bureaucracy. The president of the AFT. This is the American Federation for Teachers. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Her Twitter profile is AFT Prez, teacher, unionist, fighting for children and communities. Will back the French fry off of talking about children like they are part yours. They're not. Guess what? Your job is to educate them with the tax dollars that I make in my paycheck that end up going into the system. Your job is to educate those kids with my money, and they're my kids, and they're my neighbor's kids. They're not yours. There are children who go into the public education system who need more than what they can get at home, but it is not the default. And do not make the mistake of trying to push this idea. I believe it was Hillary Clinton was talking about this during the Hillary Clinton campaign. We have to stop thinking about, you know, these children, we need to start thinking about them as like a community. Get out of here. Like, oh man, I can't. I just chugged a 5-hour energy. Brad watched me do it. After I took it, he goes, is that your tequila face? I go, like, my tequila face is way not as embarrassing as my grape flavored 5-hour energy face.
I don't know how you did that.
Tasted like aggressive Dimetapp.
That is angry Dimetapp.
Yeah. Like that diamond, it doesn't actually have any caffeine in it. It's just the sour tartness that wakes you up and makes you. I had to stop yawning. We had a big day today.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun.
And
today,
it's only 12:14, almost 12:15.
You know, after that day today, you asked me earlier, it's like, are you a dress up kind of guy? But after walking through that store.
Yeah, you saw a bunch of things you like.
I kind of am, I guess.
Johnny Brocks, who, of course, if you're familiar with St. Louis anything, you know, Johnny Brock's Dungeon is the place to go to get your costumes. If you are looking for a costume, an affordable costume, I might add, that looks fantastic, they are fully stocked at Johnny Brock's right now.
Fully stocked. Like multiples of
each
costume.
We didn't even see the whole store. We were in there for 50 minutes.
You know, I don't think I saw an empty spot, too, where there was a costume that used to be there that isn't there anymore.
So the supply chain issues have not hit Johnny Brock's. They are fully stocked and ready to go. And in an effort to make good on my promise, if we get to 16,000 likes of the Annie Fry Show Facebook page, Brad and Trisha and I went to Johnny Brock's today because Brad and Trisha perused the store of some of the most ridiculous costumes that I've ever seen before and picked out some to show to Ryan Wiggins. And Ryan Wiggins is going to have the ultimate say in which costume I wear. This ridiculous.
So I think this worked out the best because this way we didn't end up having Ryan pick the wrong kind of costume and have the final say. So we gave, you can pick whatever you want from this selection here that we have for you. So it's not going to be too edgy, but I don't know what he's going to pick.
So Ryan is going to have the final say of the options that are presented to him. Trisha and Brad pick some that are going to be incredibly humiliating for me to wear here on the webcam next, a week from tomorrow. So like our Friday show that would be our Halloween show. And I'm going to have a video that's going to go up on the Annie Fry Show Facebook page either late tonight or tomorrow. So you can see some of the options that, Ryan is going to pick from. And then we'll put that video up. And then you can go in the comments on the Facebook page and lobby for whichever costume you want to see me wear. But we got to get to 16,000 likes on the Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, haha, joke's on you. So, yeah.
So here's a question for you.
Sure.
If you have to dress up, does that mean Ryan and I have to dress up?
I would love for you to dress up and support me and the show in this effort.
So do my wife and I need to make a trip back to Johnny Brock's to find a costume?
Here's what I'm going to tell you. If you are in the market for a costume, if you've got a party this weekend, like a Halloween costume party this weekend, if you are looking for a costume, they have an amazing selection. Like I said, quality costumes that are affordable, and literally, like, if you can dream it, it's in there in some capacity. Things that you haven't dreamt of are in there in some capacity.
Let's just say, listen, Trisha wore a helmet that I think Trisha needs to be the owner of.
Yeah, right?
For the video.
Should have bought it for. You found a nice pirate hat.
I did.
That I think you're probably going to go back and get anyway.
If I can talk my wife into it.
Fantastic. I'll put that video up this evening. I have to get it together and get it up on the Annie Fry Show Facebook page. But if you want to see me dressed, here's what I'll tell you. There are different kinds of food that we saw. Like one thing that Trisha is obsessed with that I think she's really pushing hard for is a can of like Cheese Whiz.
Yeah.
I've never dressed up as food before. If you know me, you know that this is totally not my style. I would happily go to a party with my friends that was a costume party and not dress up as anything and not feel like a party pooper at all.
There were some presidential options.
Yes.
There was a PBS painter option.
Happy Little Trees.
Yep. Have you guys ever watched The Princess Bride?
It's the best.
There's some options from that movie.
So just go like the Facebook page. It's a win for me if we get to 16,000 likes on the Facebook page. So I will happily, you know, be the life of the party in whatever ridiculous thing that I get put in. But we're going to need your input. So go like the page. That way when the video goes up, you're going to be able to see it. For the show today, we've got Jack Posobiec. He's going to be on here when we come back. And I'm excited to talk to him because are you an NBA fan at all?
I am. Well, no, I'm starting to become more of one.
Celtics, is it Enes Kanter?
I couldn't pronounce that name.
Got to figure that out before I have to say it out loud to anybody who can hear me.
You mean on air?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was hoping I just nailed it. But I said that whatever Chattahoochee Nature Reserve was on. Sounds like everything ends up in Florida. He's the center for the Boston Celtics, and he came out and criticized China, and China came back and said, you know what, we're just not going to stream Celtics games in China anymore. He sent a pro-Tibetan message Wednesday by wearing a T-shirt that said Free Tibet, or no, his sneakers said Free Tibet. And he referred to President Xi as a brutal dictator. And China's like, I'll show you. We're not going to stream your games in China. That's a small thing on the scale of the other end of the spectrum being hypersonic missiles.
Well, yeah.
What?
But prove to us you are who we say you are, China. Because that's exactly what we're accusing you of. And that's exactly what you're going to do.
Yeah. A brutal dictator. He said, my message to the Chinese government is free Tibet. Tibet belongs to Tibetans. I'm here to add my voice and speak out against what is happening in Tibet under the Chinese government's brutal rule. He added, I say shame on the Chinese government. The Chinese dictatorship is erasing Tibetan identity and culture. So he just went out there and said it, used this platform to say that. Funny that he's in the NBA and deciding to take this bold stance. And China responded, President Xi responded by saying, well, we're not going to show your games anymore because they don't want that message to be out in China. And if he's wearing Free Tibet tennis shoes, sneakers, and those games are being shown in China, China doesn't allow that. We have an expert in Jack Posobiec. He's lived in China. He understands the Chinese government, the CCP. He served in intelligence, and he is going to be with us when we come back. So stick around, Jack Posobiec, when we return. And Tyrus at 125, did you hear Condoleezza Rice made a statement? It's a really outrageous statement. She says, I don't have to make white kids feel bad for being white. Oh, really? Is this a controversial statement in 2021? Would love to hear what you think about that. Comment with us on our live stream on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. You can go to the Annie Fry Show Facebook page. We are streaming on Twitter, on Rumble, and Twitch as well. And we would love for you to join us. Jack Posobiec when we come back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show. Interact with Annie on Facebook. The Annie Fry Show. You're listening to The Annie Fry Show. Follow Annie on Twitter at Annie Fry Show.
Can't explain all the feelings that you're making me feel. In overdrive and you're behind the steering wheel. Touching you, touching me, touching you.
What we did for 4 years, Sean, was make clear to the people of Taiwan that we'd be there to support them, to provide what they needed so they could defend themselves. And we made clear to the Chinese Communist Party that it was completely unacceptable if they took military action against the island of Taiwan. Those two basic facts were things President Trump was very clear he was prepared to defend. They could see that we did that elsewhere in the world when we struck Qasem Soleimani, when we fired rockets into Syria, when they used chemical weapons crossing President Trump's red line. I think they all knew that we were serious about protecting Americans. I think they realized that the debacle in Afghanistan, the fact the Iranians fired missiles from the Gaza Strip into Israel, have all shown American weakness. And I see that of the four things you walked through tonight, those are all things where America is showing weakness. And when you do that, our adversaries will do everything they can to put us at risk and to crush us.
And meanwhile, there's a million things we can pay attention to right now. Of course, everyone's wrapped up in the Virginia governorship, that race that's going on. There's the southern border. That seems to have the concern of some people, but not others. Like, you know, the people in the administration don't seem to be paying a whole lot of attention to that at this point in time. We're labeling parents who are frustrated about what's taking place in their taxpayer-funded classrooms that they're sending their children in. Meanwhile, there's this thing in China going on, right? This continues to be the case. Mike Pompeo, they're talking about the Trump administration and the hard line that they took with the CCP, with President Xi. And now we have the story out of the Boston Celtics. Their center gave scathing remarks about President Xi Jinping's actions towards Tibet, called him a brutal dictator. So what does China do? What exactly what you would expect China to do? They made sure that nobody in China would actually see this message, the message on the Celtics Center sneakers that says Free Tibet. The largest streaming provider said, no, we were not going to stream these games for the foreseeable future. Well, let's talk to an expert on China. Welcoming to the show, Jack Posobiec. He's a senior editor at Human Events. You know him on Twitter at Jack Posobiec, and he's with us now. Jack, thanks for coming on the show today. Great to have you back.
Annie, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on again.
So this can't come as a surprise to you that the Celtics Center is delivering an anti-Chinese message and he gets shut down immediately. You know so much more about what is going on with the CCP, what their end goals are. Where does this fit into that understanding that you have about what they're working towards?
Well, the CCP predominantly has been using economic power to gain leverage, as well as they also built their military. So this is very in stark contrast to the U.S.'s conflict with the Soviet Union during the Cold War, because, of course, the U.S. and Soviet Union did not have the massive trade relationship that the U.S. and China currently enjoy. And so when you see things like the NBA, when you see things like Hollywood, of course, these organizations are trying to do everything they can to continue that relationship because they want to be able to market their films and their games and their teams all throughout to the Chinese market of 1.4 billion people. And so what is surprising to me isn't that the CCP, of course, would ban them, would urge this kind of fealty and political loyalty towards them. And we certainly have lots of political correctness here in the United States as well. But what is surprising to me that you have yet again another NBA player, we've seen this recently as well, standing up for what's right, standing up and delivering a message that actually matters, flying in the face of repression and really calling it out. You know, I actually had the opportunity to visit Tibet all the way back in 2006. And we saw what they were doing up there. We saw how the CCP was actually importing their own Han Chinese people from other parts of the country and then importing them into Tibet to do everything they could to basically assimilate that area. They're doing the same thing in Xinjiang with the Uyghurs. They're trying to build their own infrastructure, their own communities really around and demolish many of the traditional historic buildings and neighborhoods of Tibet, and specifically the capital city of Lhasa. And of course, as we know, the Dalai Lama has not been allowed back into Tibet since 1959. And currently, of course, when the Dalai Lama does eventually pass away, the CCP has basically stated that they are going to be choosing who the next Dalai Lama is. And of course, that's something that is always done internally. So this is a huge, huge repressive regime that we're seeing in Tibet. And the only thing that really surprises me, quite frankly, is the fact that, and I'm pleasantly surprised, that yet another person has decided to stand up for what's right, actually take a stand for human rights, and actually do the right thing.
Yeah, I would agree with that, that the NBA is one of the most prominent, I guess, Chinese apologist organizations that we have in this country, at least outwardly. And we've seen a lot of, you know, looking the other way when it comes to the NBA and their relationship with China. It's clear that the NBA feels that they need China more than they need the human rights sins of China to stop. They haven't taken a hard line there. They've taken other human rights hard lines here on the home front for sure. Does it take more of these individuals in the NBA or in other prominent industries to stand up, to continue to put the spotlight on this, to actually affect some change? Is there hope that change could actually happen?
Well, I think that it is something where, of course, you know, obviously one NBA player isn't necessarily going to stop the ability of the CCP to be able to control Tibet. But, you know, and by the way, as a similar example, when Brad Pitt released his film 7 Years in Tibet in 1997, the CCP actually initially placed a ban on him from any of his movies being allowed to be played in mainland China, and in him personally as well, for not being allowed to actually visit China. That, of course, has since been rescinded. His movies are allowed to be playing now. And it's very interesting to me that Brad Pitt, who made this fantastic, by the way, film of 7 Years in Tibet, they actually had some of the crew members snuck into Tibet with cameras to get actual footage from streets and neighborhoods in Tibet that have now been destroyed, so areas that literally do not even exist anymore. Yet Brad Pitt, you can't seem to find him giving one of his speeches and talking about Tibet anymore. Funny how that works.
Yeah, it sure is. We're speaking with Jack Posobiec. He is the host of Human Events Daily with Jack Posobiec, wildly successful podcast out there that you need to subscribe to when we get done with this interview right here. Jack, you know, when it comes to the relationship between the United States of America and China, President Trump talked about it in his campaigns and as the president on a regular basis. It doesn't seem to be, you know, front and center with the Biden administration. How permanently intertwined are the economies of these two powerhouse countries?
Well, I think you only have to go as far as the president's son to find his art collection, which is currently selling for the price of a single family home, and to really see how close the economic relationship is between the Biden family and the CCP and these high officials. Look, you know, you have a situation here where Chinese professors and officials have come out and said this in the CCP that, you know, they have a relationship mostly through Wall Street, particularly an economic relationship but then also with the families of high-ranking politicians that they've built up over the years. And one of them they've talked about is Hunter Biden. And they're quite clear about this. They've understood that in order to get these politicians and to get these officials in the U.S., and not just the U.S., by the way, they do this in Australia, they do this in Canada, they do this increasingly in the European Union. It's just a way of basically buying them off. So, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that Joe Biden's going to be out there and extolling the virtues of Xi Jinping, like some propaganda, you know, North Korean, you know, Cesar Flickman from Hunger Games or anything like that. But he will, like you say, look the other way, will not use any of the economic levers that the U.S. has against China. Because keep in mind, the relationship was set up back in the 1990s. And it was, the deal was basically this. The manufacturing would go to East Asia, and then America and the West would be turned into consumer cultures where we consume everything that's built elsewhere. Now, of course, this helps the economies of East Asia. The wealth goes there, it goes to their elites, and then the ownership rights and the capital from that comes from the U.S., and it benefits the people who are in those higher tiers of, you know, basically the 1%, right? So those are the people who get rich off of this. The American people get turned into consumers, and then Joe Biden has basically just been riding this wave for the last 50 years.
Let me ask you this. So we've watched the president, President Trump's administration. They pushed hard with economic means in order to try to affect change between relationships and countries. We're seeing what the Biden administration is willing to do, but mostly what they're not willing to do, especially when it comes to China. Then we see these words that to somebody like me who I'm not in no way, shape or form an expert on China or foreign policy issues. I see the words hypersonic missiles and I go, excuse me, what? What is this? Hypersonic missiles being tested or whatever by China. What does this mean in conjunction with the United States? And is this a real thing? And what in the world is Jen Psaki saying? We welcome the competition, because I, for one, don't welcome that competition.
Right. So what it means is that China has now established itself as a peer-to-peer competitor with the United States, at least when it comes to the Asia Pacific. These hypersonic glide vehicles, hypersonic means that it can go Mach 5 or faster, so that's five times the speed of sound. And the issue with that is that because it can glide, because it can maneuver, now you have the ability to implant a nuclear warhead on a system, a delivery system, which is maneuverable. The difference between that and a ballistic missile is that a ballistic missile is basically a catapult, right? It goes up, it goes down, it follows a set trajectory. With this glide vehicle, we don't have the ability to track this thing. It comes in on a low flight path. It also is designed to go under the South Pole, whereas U.S. early warning radars from the Cold War era are all in plans in Alaska and Greenland. So we don't have the ability to track this thing as it goes over the pole, and we also don't have the ability to track it as it comes close to one of our coasts or over Hawaii, where Pacific Command is, at Pearl Harbor, or if they get this thing dialed in even more, potentially towards one of our aircraft carriers, which is, of course, America's greatest strategic advantage when it comes to the Pacific. So now you have the ability for China basically to say, we can threaten you, we can reach out and strike you, you can't touch us. Now, I don't necessarily think that they're going to go nuclear with it, because it just doesn't make sense. You know, we still have our submarines for second launch capability, et cetera, et cetera. But what it does mean is that it's going to create a whole new paradigm for the Naval War College and naval war planners when it comes to the Asia Pacific, because if there were ever to occur a China invasion of Taiwan scenario, this would obviously be something that would keep our aircraft carriers at bay.
Jack Posobiec with us right now, senior editor at Human Events, Human Events daily podcast that you can subscribe to as well. Just do you think that China is pushing the issue right now? Is this an aggressive maneuver on their part that is more because the Biden administration hasn't shown a heavy hand like Trump did? Or is this just China being China?
Well, China, it's a little bit of both. I mean, but at the same time, the only thing that China is going to respond to is economic leverage. That other than going to kinetic war, which I don't think either side really wants, certainly the American people would not benefit from going to war with China. And I don't think the Chinese people would benefit from that either. I mean, both sides would be decimated. What really the only thing you can do is go to that economic relationship. And I'm sorry, Chamber of Commerce. And I'm sorry, Wall Street and World Bank and the IMF and everybody else who's making money off this thing. But if you actually want to do anything to affect this relationship instead of importing the authoritarianism of the CCP through the 1% of the ruling political class in the West, instead actually use some of those economic levers, use some of those tariffs, et cetera, to actually do something to affect change in their behavior.
Jack, it's always a pleasure to have you here on the Annie Fry Show. Encourage people to follow you on Twitter at Jack Posobiec and check out your podcast. You've got great information, and we're always glad to include it here on the Annie Fry Show.
Appreciate it, Annie. Thanks so much. God bless.
Yep, you as well. God bless. Seriously, follow him on Twitter if you want information and a laugh here and there. Ryan Wiggins was saying was that yesterday? I think we were saying this on the air. Didn't Ryan say this on the air that he pretty much credits Jack with the "Let's go, Brandon"?
Yes.
I think that was
on the air.
I think that's probably accurate. I mean, Jack has a humongous following, a million plus on Twitter, and he just has a way of doing things and getting things done.
Incredibly intelligent, and he's funny.
Yes.
So you put those two things together and man, yeah.
Yep. At Jack Posobiec on Twitter, and that podcast is doing wildly well. So you make sure you check that out.
What is the name of the podcast, do you know?
Human Events. Since he's the senior editor of Human Events, it's Human Events Daily with Jack Posobiec.
So okay.
If you Google Jack Posobiec podcast or search that in whatever podcast platform you use, you'll find it. Let's take a quick break. Wiggins America when we return. And don't forget, Tyrus is going to join us at 125. I'm going to ask him about Condoleezza Rice's statement saying she doesn't need to make white kids feel guilty about being white in order for progress to continue. It's like weird. Was that a bold statement? We'll talk about that in the 1 o'clock hour, but Wiggins America when we come back.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show. Find the podcast, on-demand audio, and more at 971talk.com/Annie.
Cross my heart, I won't do it again. Tell myself, draw the line. Not do I do, but once in a while I trip up and across the line. And I think of you. 2 years and just like that, my head still takes me back.
I can't control rumors and it's bullshit. Bullshit spelled with a B-U-L-L capital B.
I asked you, but...
B-U-L-L capital B. That mansion clip just makes me laugh every time I hear it. And we really covered that heartbreaking news yesterday in real time.
Yeah, we did.
We were on that.
Yeah, because I saw a lot more reporting yesterday afternoon, but apparently that news had leaked early yesterday morning.
I think it's all B-U-L-L capital B bullcrap anyway.
I don't.
And I said it to you when you were looking. I go, this is not a real thing. This is somebody who wants to get under Manchin's skin and put the spotlight on him in a negative way, but you disagree.
I just think that it's very possible that he quietly said that to some of his associates, and then that news leaked out, and then he said, oh, shoot, now I'm going to tell the world that that didn't happen. I don't know that there's like a political strategy to it, but I could see that happening.
I just think Joe Manchin's status quo, he's never going to have more power and influence than he has right now. I wouldn't change the status quo.
Well,
I would keep coasting right where I am.
I hear you.
And keep the status quo.
But like I said yesterday, if he was independent, not that he would switch to a Republican, but if he switched to independent, he really would actually wield more power because he could determine who the leader of the Senate was.
And it would aggravate all of the Democrats that have voted for him because he's a Democrat, and then he would threaten his ability to continue to stay in the Senate.
I don't mean that it's a good strategy.
It's not about...
Just saying it could be a strategy.
It's not about what's good for the country. It's about what's good for West Virginia and Joe Manchin's ability to continue to
represent
it. But
here's the thing, though. If he does that, if he makes himself an independent, if he gets Republican hopes up, there are Republicans who would more likely vote for him because he's an independent now rather than being a Democrat.
But there are no Republicans that are going to vote for Joe Manchin over a Republican.
Well, what if he switched to independent temporarily, then come election time, he actually switched to Republican?
I just don't know. There's no benefit. Other than him being able to teeter the fact that there's a 50-50 split right now, if he did that and he took the majority out of the hands of the Democrats right now, if he did that, and I don't even know, like, constitutionally, like, that's just a bonkers thought to consider. If he did that, he would anger West Virginian Democrats so much that he'd be toast. And that's not good for Joe Manchin. And if we remember correctly, that's what these politicians care about, themselves.
But doesn't floating the idea just give him a little bit more leverage in the negotiation? Not that he would do it.
I think that he likes being part of the conversation in the spotlight, but no, I don't think there's any benefit for him doing it.
Before we get to Wiggins America, though, can I just tell you, that interview with Jack Posobiec was awesome.
Thank you.
I listened to that whole thing, and just the wealth of knowledge he has about military matters. I know he's a smart guy.
Well, he was in it. Like, he did it.
Right, but I mean, keeping up with, I know a lot of people who were in the military who, they wouldn't know what Jack Posobiec knows.
They're not Jack Posobiec.
Well, no, I didn't say that. I did not say that. No,
Wiggins,
I just thought it was
in
great.
In Wiggins America, he doesn't like the military.
Yeah, right. No. No, hey, jokes are funny. That ain't funny.
I thought Ryan was going to say, I really liked that segment because you mentioned him in it, you know, and gave him credit for that.
Well, at the very end. Yeah. But Jack didn't hear that, and I wanted to be on Jack's good side. After he was gone.
You going to just spend Wiggins America talking about Jack Posobiec?
Let's do that. Let's hit it.
It's your
Wiggins. Oh, Wiggins.
Anyway.
I bring to you simply a thought experiment. Normally, I'm bringing you some information or an article. Yesterday, I heard somebody reporting on Mississippi meatpacking plants. And the fact that one of the reasons they were able to stay open, I know this sounds funny, like, it's funny, but...
Carry on.
Okay.
This is your world.
One of the reasons that they've been able to stay open, they say, is because of the immigrant surge. That they've actually been pulling, and it's probably not unique to just this industry in Mississippi. That's why I'm bringing it to you as a thought experiment.
This is a specific example.
That's an example. That a lot of industries that have really struggled with the worker shortage are finding that migrants, and they won't say illegal immigrants because they won't say it because it's illegal. But
no human is illegal.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that? Because when I heard that, I really didn't know what to take away from it.
I hear Democrats, real life, as I call them, Thanksgiving table Democrats, the people I know in my real life who vote Democrat, say we need, this is what they will say. We need the illegals to come here because they do the jobs Americans won't. And I think, how can you possibly speak about people that way?
I hear that.
It's the most degrading thing. Oh, we need people to come here whose lives suck so bad that they'll come here and take care of our riffraff. I mean, like, literally, I've had conversations with people say, you can't get anyone to cut our grass, so we can't get in. And I'm like, I can't say that. I can't go on the air and be like, well, we need these migrants to come. I got to use this funny voice, so when people clip this and try to use it against me sometime, I'd be like,
talking?
No. You want to do it?
No. You do it. You impersonate you.
I don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. They'll say, we need people to cut our grass or clean our houses or whatever. And that's, you can't, these people aren't coming here to be our servants and to do if that's what they do to build a life here, super awesome. But your country of origin should never dictate what kind of job we permit you to come into the country for. That's the most asinine thing to say. And every time people say that, you can tell that they just think that they're being really kind and generous, that we would allow people to come here and cut our grass. Like, who says that out loud? And if you use this commercial against me someday, I will come at you.
We'll just cut the whole audio, and then you can play it as a counter commercial.
I was going to say, this would be something fun for Ryan to do, which is to cut up things that I say during the show and make a hit ad against me in favor of Wiggins America.
Oh, yeah, I could do that.
Do we have a
Except for the fact that that could actually end up becoming a problem for me in the future.
I was going to say, do we have a homework assignment for Ryan?
No.
It has to be a TV ad, though.
Somebody's already doing it right now,
Nothing you're saying is necessarily wrong, but when you put it with dire music
and black and white
pictures of you,
remove the color from this.
Where somebody actually accidentally caught you in a pose where you're like, like, oh my gosh, not only is she wrong, but she's ugly. Like, they do that all the time on those, those commercials.
That's the meanest thing you've ever said to me.
No, that's what they do. They grab a photo of somebody like basically like eating a cheeseburger falling out of their mouth. They're like, look at this idiot. Listen to what he said. Now Annie's sad. Anyway, thought experiment. Just I mean, we all know the core problem is government-induced of worker shortage. Yeah. It was just something that whenever I hear those kind of anecdotal things, it makes me wonder, is that actually a solution? Like, would that cause... Is that causing things to be better now than they would have been if we hadn't had 1.7 million migrants cross the border?
Well, let's stop and think about this, though. So I'm thinking in my head, we're paying people to stay home. You know, we're giving them unemployment bonuses to stay home. So those people, it's not so much that these people are doing jobs that Americans won't do. They're doing jobs that Americans are being paid not to do.
Right? That's exactly right.
It's also driving labor. It's driving wages down.
Right. Well, and then the other part of that is these people are staying home. They're not working. They're getting money from the government. That money from the government comes from somewhere. So we're taking these people who are migrants coming to America looking for a better life. We're putting them in factories and we're taking their money to give money to other people who aren't going to work.
It's all true. I mean, that's why I thought this was an interesting thought experiment. But just because on the surface, you hear that argument and you go, well, maybe there's something to that. But the minute you start digging into it, the whole thing falls apart. And speaking of falling apart.
I'm sorry, but these bears are wiggling these Charmin commercials.
Oh, those Charmin bears.
You know, how do you advertise something that wipes your butt? You make them cute little bears or whatever, but like you're talking seriously and they're just wiggling their little tushies up there.
No, that's fine.
And they're so happy that they use Charmin and clean.
Another question, thought experiment. Why are we advertising toilet paper? I think 2020 taught us we all know we need it. And in fact, the better brands.
It's going to be time to stock up again.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if you were to get caught without toilet paper after 2020?
Oh, you'd be the laughing stock of the world.
Joke's on you. Tyrus in the 1 o'clock hour. Don't go away.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.